all of you. Who have assembled under the name of Jesus to give him glory, to give him honor, and to give him praise. Let us go before the throne of grace in prayer. Father, we do bless you. We thank you for this day, this moment in time that we'll never see again. We have assembled under the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, the only name we shall ever assemble under all the days of our life. We are sold out to Jesus. We are faithful unto death. We love not our life unto death, as Pastor shared with the Church of Sardis. They overcame Satan and all of his wickedness with the power of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto death. And for that, we give you glory, honor, and we give you praise, Father. And so, God, we now just pray that there'll be no hindrance of the Holy Spirit having his way of our hearts and minds with the Holy Scriptures, acknowledging that we who stand at this pulpit, we're just vessels, sinners saved by grace, to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus the Christ. And so may you be pleased with this service, this message, and with this messenger. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
I forgot the announcement. Right after this, let's just gather together for a quick picture. And maybe you could remind us after, if you remember, after you pray, we'll gather.
Not sure whether to use these glasses or not. Our text today comes from the book of Zephaniah, one of the 12 minor prophets, the book of Zephaniah in the Old Testament. The subtitle to the message is Last Call for Repentance. So this is a message from the prophet Zephaniah to Judah and to Jerusalem. And the subtitle is Last Call for Repentance. And in the book of Zephaniah, chapter 1, we'll find these words. This is the word of the Lord that came to Zephaniah, son of Cushai, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah. I will completely sweep away everything from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. I will sweep away man and beast. I will sweep away the birds of the air and the fish of the sea and the idols with their wicked worshipers. I will cut off mankind from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. I will stretch out my hand against Judah and against all who dwell in Jerusalem. I will cut off from this place every remnant of Baal, the names of the idolatrous and pagan priests, those who bow on the rooftops to worship the host of heaven, those who bow down and swear by the Lord, but also swear by Milcom, and those who turn back from following the Lord, neither seeking the Lord nor inquiring of him. The name Zephaniah means the Lord hides, or he whom the Lord hides. And nothing is known of Zephaniah beyond chapter 1, verse 1, when he gives his pedigree that he is the great-great-grandson, four generations of King Hezekiah. Zephaniah ministered for about half a century or 50 years after the prophet Nahum during the reign of Josiah. After Josiah was his son, Manasseh and Ammon, and they had been the godless kings of Judah, and Manasseh being the very worst king Judah had ever had, who reigned for 54 years. And so the Reformation in Judah in 621, around the time of this text, the 10 tribes had already been taken into captivity by Assyria, put out of the land. The Reformation touched a remnant of Judah and Jerusalem. God always has his faithful remnant whose heart is not divided. And through the three chapters of the book of Zephaniah, not once does Zephaniah mention the reforms that King Josiah had put in place. Thus, Zephaniah's prophecy, for the most part, is a prophecy of doom and gloom against Judah and Jerusalem, and in chapter 2, against the surrounding nations. So the outline of the book of Zephaniah, chapter 1 is the judgment of Judah and Jerusalem. Chapter 2, verses 1 through chapter 3, verse 8, is the judgment of the earth and of all nations. And chapter 3 is the judgment removed, and the kingdom, the glorious kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, established, chapter 3, verse 9, through the end of the chapter. So the first chapter focuses on the day of the Lord's judgment coming for Judah and Jerusalem, verses 1, 2, and 3. While the second looks at the day of the Lord's judgment on other nations and Jerusalem once more. And that's in Zephaniah chapter 2, verse all the way through to chapter 3, verse 8. And then the third section explores the hope that remains for the nations in Jerusalem on the other side of the great tribulation. And we look at Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 9. For then I will give to the people's purified lips, or your text may say a purified language, which means one heart, no blasphemy, God, no speaking against God, no taking God's name in vain, a purified lip, all worshiping God and praising the true and living God. While we give to the people a purified lips or a purified language, that all of them may call on the name of the Lord to serve him shoulder to shoulder. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my worshipers, my dispersed ones, will bring my offerings. In that day, you will feel no shame, because all of your deeds by which you have rebelled against me, for then I will remove from you, from your midst, your proud, exalted ones. And you will never again be haughty on my holy mountain. But I will leave among you a humble and lowly people, and they will take refuge in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel will no longer do wrong or speak lies, nor will a deceitful tongue be found in their mouths, but they will feed and lie down, and no one will make them afraid. And so the outline of the book of the prophet Zephaniah. Now in this book, Zephaniah is the last of the pre-exilic or pre-exile prophets. Daniel and Ezekiel, they will prophesy during the 70 years of captivity. And the prophets Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, they are the post-exilic or post-exile prophets. And Zephaniah introduces himself as the son of King Hezekiah of Judah, the southern kingdom, who prophesied during the reign of King Josiah. And under King Josiah, who began to rule when he was only 8 years of age, he ruled for 31 years, and he led the last great revival in Judah. And we find this in 2 Kings chapter 22, and the word of God reads, starting at verse 2. And he did what's right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in all the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right or to the left. So we see Josiah followed in the footsteps of King Hezekiah in leading a spiritual reform. And when the book of the law of Moses was discovered in the temple, it was read to him and he tore his robe and he wept. Then he commanded, 2 Kings 22, verse 13, go and inquire of the Lord for me, for the people and all Judah concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that burns against us because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book by doing all that is written about us. And then he inquired of the prophetess Huldah, the female prophetess Huldah, in 2 Kings 22, verse 14. So Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam, Akbar, Shaphan, and Asaiah went and spoke to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shillam, son of Tikva, the son of Horhas, the keeper of the wardrobe. She lived in Jerusalem in the second district. And Huldah said to them, this is the word the Lord God of Israel speaks. Tell the man who sent you that this is what the Lord says. I am about to bring calamity on this place and on its people, according to all the words of the book that the king of Judah has read, because they have forsaken me and burn incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. My wrath will be kindled against this place and will not be quenched. But as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, tell him, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. As for the words you have heard, because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before the Lord, when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its people, that they will become a desolation and a curse, and because you have torn your clothes and wept before me, I have heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, I will indeed gather you to your fathers, and you will be gathered to your grave in peace. Your eyes will not see all of the calamity that I will bring on this place. So they brought her answer back to King Josiah. And so we see now, this is the background of the prophet Zephaniah's prophecy. And it is important to connect the dots as Zephaniah gives God's last call for repentance before the destruction of the southern kingdom of Judah. This was a surface reform of the people as their hearts were divided. They obeyed the king in public, but still worshiped the false gods of other nations. They went to worship Jehovah at the temple on the Sabbath day. They piled into the temple, but still they worshiped foreign gods in their hearts and in their homes. And during the prophecy of Zephaniah, the Assyrian Empire had not yet fallen to Babylon. And we know this from chapter 3, verse 13, the word of God reads, and he will stretch out his hand against the north and destroy Assyria. He will make Nineveh a desolation as a dry desert. Herds will lie down in her midst, creatures of every kind. Both the desert owl and the screech owl will roost atop her pillars. Their calls will sound from the window, but desolation will lie on the threshold, for he will expose the beams of cedar. This carefree city that dwells securely, that thinks to herself, I am it, and there's none besides me. What a ruin she has become, a resting place for beasts. Everyone who passes by her hisses and shakes his fists. And so then in the text, it is believed by many Bible scholars that the Assyrian Empire fell to the Babylonians about 10 years after Zephaniah's prophecy. And Judah will fall to Babylon about 20 or 25 years after Babylonians, after the Babylonians invade Jerusalem the third time. So at the conquer of Nineveh, Babylon then becomes the first world ruler, which is the head of gold, if we remember that teaching not too long ago in the book of Daniel. And so in the text, Zephaniah chapter 1, at verse 2, we read, "I will completely sweep away everything from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. I will sweep away man and beast. I will sweep away the birds of the air and the fish of the sea and the idols with their wicked worshipers. I will cut off mankind from the face of the earth, declares the Lord." And so here God speaks of a thorough purging of wicked people on the earth. And this is a worldwide judgment given in detail in the book of Revelation. In other words, when King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon comes against Judah and Jerusalem, it would be a type of the worldwide judgment that is going to come upon all the earth. And a type is like a shadow of the real deal. It's not the real deal, but it's like a shadow of the real deal. And so then if we stand in the sun, you and I, we have a shadow. The shadow is ours, but it is not us. If we move, it moves. If we run, it runs. When we stop, it stops. It is a shadow of us, but it is not us. A type of the real experience to come. And at King Nebuchadnezzar's third and last incursion against Judah, he leveled the temple and the palaces of the kings and the princes, and he burned the place to the ground. And thus he fulfilled God's word of cutting off the wicked inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem from the promised land. The worldwide destruction to come is the great tribulation period. And Jesus said, except those days be cut short, there shall no flesh be left. And so in our text in the book of Zephaniah, verse 4, God turns his attention now to Judah. "And I will stretch out my hand against Judah and against all who dwell in Jerusalem. I will cut off from this place every remnant of Baal, the names of the idolatrous and pagan priests, those who bow on the rooftops to worship the host of heaven, those who bow down and swear by the Lord, but also swear by Milcom, and those who turn back from following the Lord, neither seeking the Lord nor inquiring of him." And so here in the text, we see three great evils. And the first of the three is the public worship of false gods mixed with the worship of Jehovah, the true and living God. God said, "I will cut off from this place every remnant of Baal, the names of the idolatrous and pagan priests." In 2 Kings chapter 23, we learn that 10 years after Josiah became king, did he begin to cleanse the temple from idolatry. Listen to what was going on at that time. 2 Kings 23, verse 1. "Then the king summoned all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem, and he went up to the house of the Lord with all the people of Judah and Jerusalem, as well as the priests and prophets, all the people small and great. And in their hearing, he read all the words of the book of the covenant, which is the law of Moses, that had been found in the house of the Lord. So the king stood by the pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord, to keep his commandments, decrees, and statutes with all his heart and all his soul, and to carry out the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people entered into the covenant. Then the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, the priest also second in rank, and the doorkeepers to remove from the temple of the Lord all the articles made for the god Baal." I want to read that again. And he commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, the priest second in rank, and the doorkeepers to remove from the temple of the Lord all the articles made for the god Baal, the Canaanite god, and also Asherah, and all the hosts of heaven,
And he burned them outside of Jerusalem in the fields of the Kidron Valley and carried their ashes to Bethel. Josiah also did away with the idolatrous priests ordained by the kings of Judah to burn incense on the high places of the cities of Judah and in the places all around Jerusalem. Those who had burned incense to Baal, to the sun and moon, to the constellations, and to the whole host of heaven. He brought the Asherah pole from the house of the Lord to the Kidron Valley outside of Jerusalem, and there he burned it to the ground, ground it to powder, and threw its dust on the graves of the common people, the worshipers of these gods. He also tore down the quarters of the male shrine prostitutes that were in the house of the Lord, where the women had woven tapestries for Ashtoreth. And then Josiah brought all the priests from the cities of Judah and desecrated the high places from Geba to Beersheba, where the priests had burned incense, and tore down the high places of the gates at the entrance of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which was left to the city, which was to the left of the city gate. And it continues, and although the priests of the high places did not come up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, they ate unleavened bread with their fellow priests. He also desecrated Topheth in the valley of Ben-Hinnom so that no one could sacrifice his son or his daughter in the fire to Molech. So the Jews were practicing human sacrifice during the prophecy of Zephaniah. And he removed from the entrance of the house of the Lord the horses that the kings of Judah had dedicated to the sun. They were in the court near the chamber of an official named Nathan-Melech, and Josiah burned up the chariots of the sun. He pulled down the altars that the kings of Judah had set up on the roof near the upper chamber of Ahaz, and the altars that Manasseh had set up in the two courtyards of the house of the Lord. The king pulverized them and threw their dust into the Kidron Valley. And in the background of all of this, in the spirit world, all that Satan has set up for himself to be worshipped in the house of the Lord, in the temple of Jehovah, King Josiah tore it down. Amen. So this is possibly the period in which Zephaniah prophesies. During all of the wickedness that was going on, the worship of the true and living God, Jehovah, mixed with the worship of the gods of the land of Canaan. And then the second great evil is family worship of the false gods in their homes. Verse 5 teaches us, those who bow on the rooftops to worship the host of heaven, and those who bow down and swear by the Lord, but also swear by Milcom, who is Molech, the Moabite God. So we see they're going to the Sabbath to worship on Sunday, and they're mixing the worship of Jehovah with the gods of the land of Canaan and the Moabite God Molech. And when they come home, they are exclusively worshiping the host of heaven and the Moabite God Molech. And then that's the third great evil. Individual worship of the false gods. Verse 6 tells us, and those who turn back from following the Lord, neither seeking the Lord nor inquiring of him. These were those who identified as Jews, as children of Abraham. But they did not call on the God of their fathers. They called on the gods of the land of Canaan. So we see now, in the text, during the prophecy of Zephaniah, Judah had become as wicked as the 10 tribes of Israel in the north. They did not learn from the destruction of the northern 10 tribes because they had the temple of the God, and they thought that since they had the temple of the Lord, it would not be destroyed. But Zephaniah also addresses the day of the Lord, as did other prophets. In verse 7 of our text, Zephaniah 1:7, God says, be silent in the presence of the Lord, for the day of the Lord is near. Indeed, the Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has consecrated his guests. And so God is saying, shut up praying to me while you also pray to other gods. And Elder Jason taught us from the prophet Nahum that God is a jealous God. Nahum chapter 1, verse 2. The Lord is a jealous and avenging God. The Lord is avenging and wrathful. The Lord takes vengeance on his adversaries and keeps wrath for his enemies. All this going on in the land of Judah and Jerusalem, the people of God. So back in the text, Zephaniah 1:8, on the day of the Lord's sacrifice, I will punish the princes, the sons of the kings, and all who are dressed in foreign apparel. On that day, I will punish all who leap over the threshold, who fill the house of their masters with violence and deceit. And so these people we see now, they pounce on the poverty of the poor. They leaped over the threshold, implying that they broke into the homes of others and stole their valuables and brought their valuables to their masters' houses, increasing their masters' wealth. And their masters would then foreclose on the property of those of the poor. And in verse 10, we read, on that day, declares the Lord, a cry will go up from the fish gate, a wail from the second district, and a loud crashing from the hills. Wail, O dwellers of the hollow, for all your merchants will be silenced. All who weigh out silver will be cut off. And it is believed that the fish gate, as we'll see Wednesday at the Bible study, is where Babylon entered Jerusalem from the north. And all the wealth that they had accumulated, leaping over the threshold, robbing those less fortunate, all the wealth that they had accumulated won't save them from the Babylonian army that is going to come. And then in verse 12 of our text, and at that time I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish the men settled on their leaves who say to themselves, the Lord will do nothing, either good or evil. Isn't that something? They're settled on their leaves, and they say, God will do nothing, either good or evil. Their wealth will be plundered and their houses laid waste. They will build houses but not inhabit them, and plant vineyards but not drink the wine. This would happen at King Nebuchadnezzar's third incursion against Judah when he burns the temple and the palaces of the kings and the princes to the ground. And the text indicates God's anger will be in the hearts of the Babylonians as they search out the men and put them to death, the wicked men, and put them to death. And neither their gold nor their silver can save them. And so then, these people who said, God will do nothing, neither good nor evil. In 2 Kings 22, it taught us that it was 10 years after Josiah became king that he began to purge the land of idolatry. So this means at the age of 18, he began to purge the land of Judah and Jerusalem from the idols, from the dead gods of the land of Canaan. And during those 10 years, when they went into the temple and worshiped Jehovah and they worshiped Baal and they worshiped Molech, they believed that God did not care, that he would do nothing either good or bad. And America seems to have that same philosophy today, that God would do nothing either good or bad. The LGBTQ community is changing the way we educate our children by indoctrinating them that their lifestyle is normal and should be accepted as a heterosexual marriage. And the LGBTQ men, they are dominating women's sports, breaking records in women's sports. And the women are crying out saying it's not fair, for they are a man imposing as a woman. It's what we're seeing in the world today. And our borders are a joke as illegal immigrants are pouring in. And 10 IEDs, improvised explosive devices, have been confiscated by Border Custom, 10 IEDs confiscated from illegal immigrants. And the belief is that the illegal immigrants will vote Democrat, thus keeping the Democratic Party in power. Worship of the creature more than the creator. And in just a matter of time, America will have a far left president that will not support Israel because of the anti-Semitism that we see around the world today. Worship of the creature more than the creator. Not knowing that it's through Israel, through whom the world is saved, by the Jewish Lord Jesus, born of the Jewish Virgin Mary, daughter of the Jewish King David, the only name under heaven given by which we must be saved. There should be no Christian anti-Semitists in the world, for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came from the land of Israel. And so then, in the text, verse 17, I will bring such distress on mankind that they will walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood will be poured out like dust and their flesh like dung. Neither their silver nor their gold will be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. The whole earth will be consumed by fire, by the fire of his jealousy. For indeed, he will make a sudden end of all who dwell on the earth. And so God is using the wickedness of Judah and Jerusalem to describe the wickedness in the thoughts of men around the world. But the good news is, in the midst of God's fierce anger, God gives one last call for repentance. Chapter 2, verse 1. Gather together. Yes, gather, O shameless and nation not desired. Before the decree takes effect, before the day passes away like the chaff, before there comes upon you the burning anger of the Lord, before there comes upon you the day of the anger of the Lord, seek the Lord, all ye humble of the land, who do his just commands. Seek righteousness, seek humility. Perhaps you will be hidden in the day of the anger of the Lord. So in the text, we see there is still opportunity for the people of Judah to escape the coming judgment if they would but seek the Lord and him only. And God says the same thing to men and women around the world every Sunday from the pulpit of a Christian church. Seek the Lord, ye humble of the land. Do his just commands, seek righteousness, seek humility. Perhaps we may be hidden in the day of the anger of the Lord. And so then, we see in the text, God is ready to redeem Israel, redeem Judah. In spite of all of their wickedness, God is ready to redeem them if they would but turn to him. And so then, we know that Peter teaches that God desires that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And in chapter 2, verse 3, God again, seek the Lord, all ye humble of the land, who do his just commands. Seek righteousness, seek humility. Perhaps you may be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. And when the law of Moses was found, King Josiah tore his robe and sought the advice of the prophets that did not go to the temple, filled with idolatrous worship. But they were led by the female prophetess Huldah, and there they were still loyal prophets of Jehovah. God always has a remnant of faithful followers, just as there are multitudes of men and women who are just as loyal to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this very day, 2,000 years after he has died on the cross for the sins of the world. The text teaches in the New Testament that God does not take joy in the destruction of the wicked, but it is necessary to purge the wicked from the earth because they will contaminate the righteous. God must judge wickedness. He must purge the wicked from the earth, lest the righteous be contaminated. And we know this from the Israelites, the children of Israel. After 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, before they crossed into the promised land, and before they crossed the Jordan River, God said to Joshua to tell the people, that when they cross over to kill men, women, children, and animals, lest you begin to participate in their wickedness. And in the Zephaniah text today, hundreds of years later, since the nation was divided, 10 in the north, 2 in the south, that's exactly what is going on in the text. The Israelites, the children of Judah and Jerusalem, are worshiping the gods of the land of Canaan. And so now, chapter 2, verse 3, God says, seek me in all of my holiness and all of my righteousness. Seek humility. Perhaps you may be hidden in the day of the anger of the Lord. And in Luke chapter 21, Jesus says to his apostles, as he describes the coming judgment, Jesus was telling his apostles of the great day of God's judgment that's coming upon the whole earth to try men. He told them of the things that would happen during the great tribulation period. He spoke of a cataclysmic events that would take place in the heavens and also on the earth. And Jesus said to them, pray ye always that you would be accounted worthy to escape all these things that are going to come upon the earth. And in Luke 21, verse 25, we read, and there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear of the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. But take heed to yourselves, verse 34, but take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, that their day come upon you unexpectedly, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. And here's the key, verse 36, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. And also in the book of Revelation, Jesus shares Revelation chapter 3 of the faithful church of Philadelphia, verse 7, and to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength. You have kept my word and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, those who say they are Jews and are not Jews, but they lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Here's the key, verse 10, because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell upon the earth. And then the letter to the very last church, the church of Laodicea, the lukewarm church, the church of apostasy, the church which Jesus has absolutely nothing good to say about that church. In fact, Jesus stands outside the door of this church, the church of Laodicea, and he's knocking to be let into his own church, the church of Laodicea. And I believe in my studies, this is to be the apostate church, the fulfillment of the apostate church. There are apostate Christian churches in the world today, but I believe this to be the fulfillment of the apostate church that the Apostle Paul talks about, the apostate church that many Bible scholars believe will go through the great tribulation. They will be a part of the one world government, one world religion led by the false prophet. And so then it is comforting to know that God has not appointed his faithful servants to death, to wrath. And for that, we go back to King Josiah, and God said to King Josiah by the prophetess Huldah, Because you have tore your robes and wept before me, I will not do this calamity in your lifetime. But after you have died and slept with your fathers, then I will bring this evil upon Judah and Jerusalem. And so as I get ready to close, I close with the indictment against Jerusalem in chapter 3. Woe to the city of oppressors, rebellious and defiled. She heeded no voice. She accepted no correction. She does not trust in the Lord. She has not drawn near to her God. Her princes are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves, leaving nothing for the morning. Her prophets are reckless, faithless men. Her priests profane the sanctuary. They do violence to the law. The Lord within her is righteous. He does no wrong. He applies his justice morning and evening. He does not fail at dawn, yet the unjust know no shame. The text said her priests do violence to the law. In other words, they do not teach the whole counsel of God, the entire law of Moses. They teach what the people want to hear. They do not teach from the book of Leviticus, chapter 26. Whether we read it, verse 14. If, however, you fail to obey me and carry out all these commandments, and if you reject my statutes, despise my ordinance, and neglect to carry out all my commandments, and so break my covenant, then this is what I will do to you. I will bring upon you sudden terror, wasting diseases, and fever that will destroy your sight and drain your life. You will sow your seed in vain because your enemies will eat it. And I will set my face against you so that you will be defeated by your enemies. Those who hate you will rule over you, and you will flee when no one pursues you. Here's verse 18. And after all this, you will not obey me. I will proceed to punish you sevenfold for your sins. I will break down your stubborn pride and make your sky like iron and your land like bronze. And your strength will be spent in vain, for your land will not yield its produce, and the trees of the land will not bear their fruit. And if you walk in hostility towards me and refuse to obey me, I will multiply your plagues seven times according to your sins. I will send wild animals against you to rob you of your children, destroy your livestock, and reduce your numbers until your roads lie desolate. And look at verse 23. And if in spite of all these things, you still do not accept my discipline, but continue to walk in hostility towards me, then I will act with hostility towards you, and I will make you sevenfold, and I will strike you sevenfold for your sins, and I will bring a sword against you to execute the vengeance of the covenant. Though you withdraw into your cities, I will send a plague among you, and you will be delivered into the hand of your enemies. When I cut off your supply of bread, 10 women will bake your bread, and in a single oven, they will divide it out by weight so that you will eat and not be full. Verse 27, again, God says, but if in spite of all this, you do not obey me, but continue to walk in hostility towards me, then I will walk in fury against you, and I will punish you sevenfold for your sins. You will eat the flesh of your own sons and daughters. I will destroy your high places, cut down your incense altars, and heap your lifeless bodies on the lifeless remains of your idols. And my soul will despise you. I will reduce your cities to rubble and lay waste your sanctuaries. And I will refuse to smell the pleasing aroma of your sacrifices. And I will lay waste the land so that your enemies who dwell in it will be appalled. But I will scatter you among the nations and will draw out a sword after you as your land becomes desolate and your cities are laid waste. Then the land shall enjoy its Sabbaths all the days it lies desolate. while you are in the land of your enemies. And at that time, the land will rest and enjoy its Sabbaths. As long as it lies desolate, the land will have the rest it did not have during the Sabbaths when you lived in it. And so then, the wicked prophets, the wicked preachers, the wicked priests failed to teach the whole counsel of God. They did violence to the law of Moses. They taught what the people wanted to hear. They didn't teach about sin and the consequences of sin. They didn't do what we do at this church. We teach about sin and the consequences of sin and to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, body, and strength. We teach the whole counsel of God at this church from Genesis to Revelation. And so then, verse 12 of chapter 1, the judgment that's coming on those who were settled on their lead. The rich, the wealthy, taking it easy, who said God does not care, he does not see, neither will he do good, and neither will he do evil. Father, we do bless you for your words. Your word is alive. The book of Hebrews teaches us and sharper than a two-edged sword. You have told us in advance what is going to happen, what is going to come to pass. That we not be afraid, but that we know that we serve the true and living God. And for that, we give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise. Let not this church ever fail to declare the entire counsel of God from Genesis to Revelation. May your blessings be upon this church and the pastor of this church, Pastor Joe Bishop. We give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You had a message? Okay. Let us stand. Come to the front.